From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. On the show today, well, now then, Vardy bum and how to deal with the week's big injury news. Sheffield United, will triple blades give you a smoother weekend? And will Edison soon be taking penalties for Man City? All that and more coming up in this show. Hello, Fantasy Manager, and thanks for joining us again. Us, in this case, being Premier League reporter Kelly Sommers.
Hi, James. Thanks for having me back.
Wow.
You're desperate, aren't you?
JJ Bull's back as well, aren't you, JJ?
I am. Hello. Hello, James. How are you doing?
I'm very well, very well. Keen to hear about your 25-point weekend.
Yeah.
And one half of the FPL family, Lee Bonfield.
Hello, James.
Hi, Lee. You and Kelly are neighbours.
I think we're next to each other in the league, aren't we? I'm creeping up, slowly but surely.
Everyone is creeping up on me.
10 points between you.
Not me.
Yeah, so the 25-point weekend, how many Liverpool players have you got?
I have three now because I made an executive decision to just try and enjoy the final few weeks of fantasy football and win some more points. I had only one before. No, I had two before. I had Sadio Mane and Joe Gomez. Uh-huh. But it just hasn't worked out for me, James. It's just not going the way I thought it would. I'm facing a vote of confidence in the boardroom, I think.
There's still a lot of fantasy football to play, JJ. It's never too late. I mean, just this evening, for example, we could all be facing major dividends. Thursday night, when Wolves go up against Liverpool, I'm assuming we've all got three Liverpool players now.
Yes.
A vast number. I'm not sure precisely what that number is, but I know it's vast, of FPL managers have triple captained this week because of Liverpool's fixtures. JJ, you haven't, though, because...
Well, I learned the hard way that if you wildcard because your team's doing badly, it doesn't allow you to triple captain Mo Salah, which is a good idea, I thought, for this week.
Yeah.
With two games to play.
But perhaps in your case, the wildcard is more necessary. It's not a crazy idea to do a wildcard because it's a bit like an international break. You've got 10 days, major price fluctuations, perhaps.
Yeah, you could say it's that. You could also say you didn't realise it was FA Cup weekend coming up. You could say a lot of things.
But all right. Okay.
I like the way that it's going to definitely work out for me this. I've got a good feeling about it.
All right. We'll move on because there are plenty of moves already being made beyond... people's decisions for game week 24. There's been a whole raft of injuries that I think are going to force some changes to a lot of FPL teams. Vardy pulling up on Wednesday in Leicester's clash with West Ham with a sore glute. I think that's the diagnosis there. Rashford, rather more seriously, with a fractured back.
Yeah, bad news.
And Tammy Abraham, who may or may not have done his ankle to a significant extent. What are we doing about all of these things? Who did you have in your team, Kelly?
I'm panicking. That's the first thing I'm doing. I sold Tammy Abraham for this game week, for double game week 24, to bring in Roberto Firmino.
Okay, that's
purely because I couldn't really afford to bring in Salah without ruining the rest of my team. So
nice
I went for Firmino. And I kept Ings and Vardy, both of whom gave me a grand total of 2 points.
Yeah.
So I'm going to keep hold of Ings because I think Southampton have some good fixtures. I'll talk about that
but
shortly.
But in terms of the injured players, so you didn't have the issue with Abraham. What are you going to do about Jamie Vardy?
Well, I think what's interesting is Leicester do have two fixtures before the next Premier League game. I think I'm going to sell because people are going to sell him in their droves and his price is going to go down.
Correct.
And I really like the idea of bringing in Dominic Calvert-Lewin. I regret not doing it before now. I'd kind of had that on my mind anyway. West Ham was Vardy's final chance. I am aware, though, I could regret this decision.
Okay.
And I haven't 100%
His numbers
decided.
Haven't been great
no.
since the birth of his child. Which I don't know if that's
Are we blaming the baby?
I'm pretty much,
baby.
Yeah. What, have you got Vardy? Did you have Vardy? What are you doing about Vardy?
No, I have got Vardy in my team right now. And despite I think the last goal he scored was game week 18, so it's hard to argue against what Kelly's saying here, but I think the diagnosis from Rogers and the medical team, I mean, I think we need the detail, but I think the initial prognosis was that he's, like you say, James, injured his glute and not his hamstring, which means it's I'm out for days rather than I'm out for weeks, which I think is good, and I think that means I'll keep him. Interesting to see, you know, whether he plays in any of the two cup games that are coming up. The good thing for us as FPL managers is that we're going to hear from Rogers a lot over the next 10 weeks, 10 days, because of those games. So by the time the next Premier League game rolls around, we should know a lot more.
I would also urge people, the reason I will sell him is because I think a lot of people will sell him, so his price will go down. I would probably urge listeners to hold. I am going to hold for a couple of days, wait for these press conferences, wait to see what Rodgers says, and so we find out a little bit more about them. I'm looking probably like I'm going to sell because I wanted Calvert-Lewin anyway, but I would say don't, like you just said there, don't be too hasty with your decisions.
Okay. JJ, you're on a wild card, so you can do whatever you want. You can sell him now, buy him back cheaper later.
Well, when I use my wild card, I kept Vardy in. He's one of the survivors of the previous
team. But it's a wild card, so you can just...
Oh, no, but I have already played the wild card.
Oh, I see.
So the
it's
25
not active
points
now.
Week. No.
Well,
oh, no.
Far, far worse than I thought.
Oh, yes.
Okay, we'll move on again. So Simeon says, honestly, if I sell Vardy, I don't know who to bring in. Maybe Firmino, but should sell one of the Liverpool defenders then as well, says Simeon. And McCoy says, Vardy out? Aubameyang in. That's a shout. And Robbie says, I think Vardy will be all right for the next Premier League game. It's a glute, not a hammy, so I'm sticking, says Dr. Robbie. What do you think then? Aubameyang and Firmino, the two shouts there.
Yeah, both nice picks, actually. Especially Aubameyang coming off the back of his suspension. You'd like to think that he's nicely rested now. The Arsenal fixtures coming up look like this. Burnley away, Newcastle home, Everton away. They've got a game against Man City, but then they're playing West Ham and Brighton back-to-back. So actually over the next sort of 5 to 6 weeks, only that Man City game that you wouldn't necessarily think you wouldn't do well in, you know? So there's some nice fixtures there for Arsenal.
There's also the woeful form of Man United and their historic defeat to Burnley. A lot of people have gone in and gone in big on Man United assets who've had, I think, by and large, some surprisingly low ownerships in percentage terms. So they've been quite attractive. But with Rashford now out, but also with the rest of the team flailing, Kelly, where do you stand on United assets?
James, while you were saying that, I'll tell the listener, you were looking firmly at me. That is because you know I bought in Anthony Martial this week.
Why did you do that?
Because I don't think it was... Obviously, now it looks a very silly decision. I bought him in very late before the deadline on Tuesday. I had a bit of money in the bank and I started to think, why am I keeping with these lower... Like, trying to keep this money in the bank. I need to go for it. I'm losing some ground on some of the leagues I'm in. So I upgraded Traore. So cue a massive haul against Liverpool or something tonight. But I just thought that Martial... He'd been in good goal scoring form in the Premier League. He did miss that one, particularly that one chance against Liverpool. But I thought that's Liverpool.
Right.
He's still making those chances against Liverpool, against Burnley at home.
Burnley, yeah.
He missed chances against Burnley as well,
did,
right?
Exactly.
He could have had
again,
a couple.
It was frustrating watching him. I don't ever trust Manchester United assets, and I went against my gut feeling on this, but it was a gamble and it didn't pay off. I'm sure we've all been there where it happens.
Okay.
One more fixture that I'll keep him for, Wolves, which again isn't easy, and looking at how Man United played against Burnley, I am regretting it, but I'll keep with him for one more week and then he will be gone and he will probably go down as my worst transfer of the season.
Worst transfer of the season? Wow. That's a major topic. Maybe we'll return to that one at the end of the show.
Sure, I've got many more bad ones in me, to be honest.
Okay. The other side of Mancunian football, Man City, meanwhile, Aymeric Laporte is back and I don't know if he's entered into your thinking at all. The other kind of interesting thing is that Guardiola, talking about City's penalty takers after Gabriel Jesus missed his third penalty in his last 5 spot kicks, and saying that Ederson is the best spot kick taker at the club. Is there a prospect that people bringing in Ederson could start to... Because, I mean, they get penalties, Man City.
I guess it's possible, although we spoke about this before the show, and Kelly quite rightly said, well, if Ederson's taken a penalty and the opposition goalkeeper saves it, and it doesn't go out of play, Ederson's got a pretty fast sprint back.
For that reason.
Just for that.
That would be brilliant.
They do have Kyle Walker, who can deputise now, so he can cover for him in the...
Just throw him his glass when he takes it, if I'll go down there. Yeah, it'd be great for the neutral. I can't see that one actually happening, but it'd be fun if it did.
I think Laporte coming in will also make a lot of other Man City players... worth thinking about getting in, because not only will their defence be a lot better, but that then gives them a stronger foundation to build from, and you might find players like Sterling even benefit off the back of having that.
Are you thinking of getting Laporte in?
Yes, but I kind of want everyone in that I think is going
to
score loads of points, and I can't pick
them
all.
That's pretty much the idea, isn't it?
Yeah. It's where I've struggled this season, I think.
Excellent. Okay, well, by and large, JJ, you're part of one of the top performing leagues in the world. So well done, everybody. Nice.
Big pat on the back for all of us here.
Yes.
Or maybe not.
Very
JJ
much
looks
so.
A bit sheepish.
JJ looks sheepish.
All right, well, listen, there's just one fixture in the Premier League. Actually, two fixtures in the Premier League before our next show, both involving Liverpool, but everyone's team's already locked in for those. Mm. So rather than do our usual fixture chat, after this, we're going to take a more long-term view. Long view. As we get a little bit of perspective on what's coming our way in FPL, the clubs that look like they might be worth investing in if we're not already. Looking at the FDR chart, fixture difficulty rating, you can download it from the Premier League website, premierleague.com. Liverpool have got great fixtures on the way. We've all got, I think, three Liverpool players. But should we now be tripling up on the likes of, or double or tripling up on the likes of Sheffield United?
I think we should be looking at Sheffield United. Yeah, a few grumblings in the last few weeks.
We get?
Well, a few grumblings in the last few weeks about Mr. Lundstrom going out of some sides, which I can't...
Is the Lord's reign over?
Well, I don't think it is.
Benched again this midweek?
I know, but I think that's just a rest. If anything, that just reinforces the fact that he's important to the side.
But so, his returns have dropped off a lot.
They have, and I think over Christmas, you know, Chris Wilder hasn't got a lot to play with squad-wise, has he? So he did have to get the most out of those players, and Lundstrom did play a lot of minutes. So maybe we're seeing a bit of fatigue in January, and that's what's brought along the rest last week.
OK, well, their next fixtures are Crystal Palace away, Bournemouth at home, Brighton at home, Villa away, Norwich at home, and then Newcastle away. They are attractive fixtures. So whether or not you're keeping Lundstrom, are there other Blades assets we should be getting in, Kelly?
Yeah, I think that I'm definitely looking at Henderson. Goalkeepers, yeah, I know Jules would be listening to this saying, I've told you so. Goalkeepers are something I haven't really looked at enough this season, yes.
Yeah, we don't talk about him.
It's too good, isn't he? Too good for us lot. Anyway, last time I was in, he was showing off as well, so I shouldn't be mentioning him. But he obviously is big on his goalkeepers, and I actually realised recently I've stuck with Matty Ryan the whole way through. He hasn't got me above 2 points for so many weeks. Dean Henderson, I'm thinking of bringing him for him.
Kelly, I brought him in.
Oh, okay, I'm not
Reader,
bringing him.
I brought him in. Oh. I know exactly what you mean about keepers. For me, they're a little bit like socks. You just kind of, you don't go and get new ones until you absolutely have to. And even though you really, do you know what I'm talking about here?
The Anybody? FPL podcast, also analogy. Known yeah. as James's sock habits.
Yeah. So, because, you know, and then you go and get, and now, and I went out and I got two this week.
Two new
Who
keepers.
Did you go for?
Socks, actually. But oh, right. No, I'm saying keepers. Yeah, I got Ben Foster.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Yeah. And I wanted to get Dean Henderson, but I thought I'll just wait for the Man City game to get out of the way, because obviously that's not going to work. He's not going to get any points there.
Both of those good options for England, by the way, in the summer.
Well,
if Henderson carries on as he's playing, he
but
can get a
But what I've done, actually, is a little bit of research here with the FDR chart, and I noticed that you can flip-flop with Foster and Hendo.
You can.
Hendo, they're on quite, abbreviation
quite well.
Nickname terms.
So, yeah, the fixtures dovetail quite nicely.
But he's got 20 points in his last three game weeks. Mm. And Sheffield United, we know they're built on keeping a clean sheet. They keep so many clean sheets. I regret not bringing him in before, and I've been a bit stubborn because I keep missing these points hauls and thinking, oh, he won't do it again. He is, so for me, he's the goalkeeper of choice at the
and
moment.
And if you look at the fixtures as well, Crystal Palace don't score a lot of goals
in
game week 25. They've then got home to Bournemouth, and of course Bournemouth, bit of a resurgence in game week 24 with Callum Wilson getting on the score sheet, but not really setting the world alight in front of goal recently. And then Brighton at home at Bramall Lane as well, and Brighton don't travel that well. So the next three look okay for clean sheets.
The problem with Sheffield United's fixture list is, although it looks quite easy, a lot of these teams are really battling relegation. It's quite tight.
Yeah, true.
And you tend to get a lot of weird things that happen in those games where the matches turn into battles rather than football games, if that makes sense. And then it's just
good at that, though, JJ, aren't they? Sheffield United, they can dig in and go to the battle.
I think so, but then, I mean, they performed amazingly this season, and they'll keep winning games, and they'll stay relatively close to where they are. But teams like Bournemouth, who absolutely have to win, whereas Sheffield United do not, to survive, I think those games become a little bit different, and you get little things that happen, like a free kick goes in and someone scores a header that they should normally have dealt with, and Chris Wilder comes out and says, well, we should normally deal with this, and the next week it doesn't happen, but it's still that one goal that's gone in, and you get these random results.
It's not that they've got nothing to play for, though. They're on the cusp of Europa League, potentially, Sheffield United, which would be
with
incredible,
manager,
right?
Unless they're desperate to avoid that. I don't think that mentality will set in, and I also think there's a potential of save points for him for that reason you said, because teams will go for it.
Mm. What other Sheffield United assets would you like to mention, Lee?
Well, the one that's caught my eye is John Fleck, obviously, alongside Henderson. Robertson and Lundstrom. If you go a bit further up the pitch into midfield, John Fleck looks particularly good. Got a one-pointer against Manchester City, but it was against Manchester City. Previous to that, 10 points against Arsenal, 9 points against West Ham. Mm. And if you look back even to the likes of game week 17, he got 15 points there. So he's it's possible that he gets double-digit hauls, John Fleck. So I really like him. He's only 5 million in the game, so super cheap.
Really low ownership as well.
4.7% TSB. Yeah,
4.7.
Very low.
Wow. Okay, so there's a one or two Sheffield options should you be of a mind. But also up there with a really appealing set of fixtures are, look, Newcastle. Late scoring Newcastle and Saints. Kelly, I know you're hot for one Saint in particular.
I am. So I've got Danny Ings, and I still think Danny Ings is a great asset. Obviously, I know he was benched at the weekend. But their third highest scorer, Nathan Redmond, 6.2, big points haul against Crystal Palace. 13 points, in fact. That's his second double-digit haul of the season. I know that's not that impressive, but he does have this potential for explosive returns. I think he's quite... He symbolises everything Ralf Hasenhüttl has done there. When Hasenhüttl came in, he wasn't really having him. He took him off early a few times. Yeah, yeah. He's really worked with him, as he has done with a number of players, and he's really reaped the rewards now. I just think that he's got really good fixtures. He's creating chances. He can score a really good goal, as we saw against Crystal Palace. I just think he's in really good form. At 6.2, maybe a little bit expensive, but definitely one I'm monitoring. Saints' fixtures, as you said, James, really, really good. After the one against Liverpool, they've got Burnley at home, Villa at home, West Ham away, Newcastle at home, and Norwich away.
Yeah, nice.
So that's five really, really good fixtures. And I think that the way they're playing at the moment, I'd back them to go into any game and get points.
His ownership... a whopping 0.7 million. Oh, nobody's got Nathan Redmond.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, I didn't know. I realised he was that low, actually. So it could be a good double up.
All right. Anyone want to shout out any Newcastle? Has anybody got any Newcastle players? Are we looking at any Newcastle options?
I think it's too random to sort of work out who's going to do anything when.
Also, their injuries.
Yeah.
You never know who's going to be injured next at the moment. I don't like saying it, but I watched them the other week against Wolves. I was reporting on that game. They lost two players in the opening 30 minutes. And then they lost Jethro Williams a week later. I just think at the moment, the reason they're playing so well is that they're a real team. They've got this collective spirit. I don't think there's a standout performer as such. And they're not really keeping that many clean sheets. They are still conceding goals. They're just finding a way to get these points in games, which doesn't necessarily translate to FPL points, I don't think.
Okay, then. Despite a decent run of fixtures on the way, teams at the other end of the kind of FDR scale include Man City, who are Man City, so it probably doesn't matter that much. West Ham, Man United and Everton. Everton, who previously I think we'd all had a lot of players from. Yeah. Have you still got Toffees in?
Yeah.
Yes, I've got two actually in my side. So I had, I've got Mason Holgate right now,
right.
Which he was on for, I think, 7 points in the current game we're in. And
you've got
lost
a couple
them
of weeks.
Last couple of minutes.
Yeah, you got Watford away and then Crystal Palace at home. But then after that, it's Arsenal away, Man United at home, Chelsea away and Liverpool at home.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I've got Holgate and I bought in Dominic Calvert-Lewin for Rashford when I heard about the Rashford injury. And Calvert-Lewin's returned in the last couple of weeks. Very happy with that transfer. But you're absolutely right. From game week 27 onwards... Arsenal away, might keep them for that, maybe. But then Manchester United at home. So actually, we're sitting here saying the fixtures are bad, but Arsenal away, Man United at home, that's not too bad in 27 and 28. So maybe they're short to medium term, they're not so bad.
I know, as I was reading it out, I'm thinking, actually.
Saying it out loud, it made me feel differently about it.
Like you, I'm going to bring in, as I said before, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, I think.
All right.
Because I
you're
can
right.
still see
you're
him.
Walking towards the explosion.
Yeah, because I can still see them scoring. I don't think their clean sheet potential is quite going to be there. I've got Sidibe at the moment, and he hasn't provided any returns every week I've had him in.
It was a frustrating benching, wasn't it?
Oh,
the week?
Yeah. So frustrating. I had benched him, so it was okay.
Oh, okay.
But this week, I just like to point out that Tuesday night at around 9:30 was probably the worst 10 minutes of my life. I'm sitting in the Watford away end at Villa, checked my FPL team, Watford have won all at that point, take the point. Sidibe's on for clean sheet, perfect.
Yep, yep.
The next 5 minutes of madness ensued. Watford lost, Sidibe lost his clean sheets, got 2 points again.
Savage, wasn't
and
it?
I think that's him out of my FPL team, so not a good few moments for me.
Well... it's been a rough midweek for so many people. Listener, we were asking you on social media how you're planning to deal with injuries or players that are no longer first choice for their real-life managers. Who do you need to sell and who will you be buying? That's this week's Wednesday Tweet, and we'll be getting your answers after this. Who do you need to sell and who will you be buying? Joel. Just answers with one word, and that word, JJ, is wild card. Who did you bring in your wild card, by the way?
Van Dijk.
Yes.
Cathcart.
Oh, wow.
I just think Nigel Pearson's a very good manager, and I think Watford are due to come, come good.
It might, yeah.
And be built on defence first.
So
and
I think
you don't have to tell us the entire squad. Was there one player that you were desperate to get, like an Aguero or something, that you wildcarded so you could make the moves?
Aguero comes in. I love Aguero. I know Greenwood's not going to score loads, but I think he's going to be such a great player. And I thought, to make it a bit fun for me, I'll put Greenwood in as one of my strikers.
Nice.
I put Salah in because I thought I could triple captain in.
Brilliant, yeah.
Yeah, I think Grealish will score a few more times in the rest of the season, so I like him. And I think his price is quite good for what he's doing. So my subs, Cantwell, Traore and Kelly, are just there for when things go wrong. I think it's all right.
I think Grealish is a really nice pick, actually. I mean, week after week, he's borderline fixture proof as well. Whenever I see him, I think, that's a tough fixture, maybe I'll bench him. And he just pops up with a worldie or an assist or something. He's Villa are all about Grealish right now.
Well, if you, listener like Joel, have wildcarded, it's not actually a bad time to be doing it. A lot of people say that playing the wildcard early makes sense. And this is a little bit like an international break. There's 10 days, prices can go up and down. Is there a player or a couple of players that you think are absolutely essentials now? What would be the first two names that you would have in if you were wildcarding?
Well, I think for me, I would stick with Kevin De Bruyne. And if I didn't have Kevin De Bruyne, I'd bring him in, particularly on the back of Pep's comments about who's going to take the penalties. I have a sneaky suspicion that Kevin De Bruyne, with that rocket of a right foot, might get the nod.
And?
And Grealish as well. I mean, mentioned him a second
ago. Okay.
I would bring Grealish in, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, having watched Grealish live on Tuesday, I'm the same with Grealish. Everything Villa do goes through them. Mm. He
playing more advanced.
Typically,
as well.
Villa scored two goals against Watford. He wasn't involved in either. But he was involved in the build-up, just not in terms of FPL. I think he had the pass before the assist. Grealish, I agree, at his price point, I think, is brilliant. The other thing I would say is, if you are wildcarding, which I have considered, I'm probably not going to, I would stick with the three Liverpool players.
Yeah,
as well. I think the treble up. Yeah. I've had two the whole way through, and gone three for this week.
Which
and
three
I will
would
keep
you have
three.
Then if you were wildcarding right now? Two if defenders and a midfielder, or the other way
I
around?
I think I would do two defenders and a midfielder, or one defender, two midfielders.
No, I spoke to you about this before when I was on one of these earlier podcasts. I have a spreadsheet that uses algorithms and clever science maths to work out which players are not on form, but who is the best at certain parameters, like attack or creativity, things like that. And two Liverpool players come out just behind Jamie Vardy and being the best attackers, Mo Salah and Sadio Mane. And although they've not been great this season, their underlying numbers sort of are. And I think they're just due to come in and really hit run of form coming in.
And hold on a minute, they've not been great this season.
I think they've
been phenomenal.
They've not been as prolific as last season, I would say.
Okay.
I think.
So you think, good as they've been, they're going to get even better?
Yeah, I think Salah's going to start scoring more.
Okay.
And I think Manny will also get a couple of games where he scores two rather than just one and nothing and one and nothing.
Oh, okay. Please be this week.
So, other answers anyway to our question, who do you need to sell, who you'll be buying, how are you dealing with injuries? Emily just says, delete the app and my entire team. Don't give up, Emily. It can all get turned around.
Play a wild card.
Yeah,
please. Yes, of course.
Play a wild card.
You've got to take the highs with the lows. You can't just enjoy the highs of FPL.
Exactly.
All right. Mohammed, with 10 games till game week 25, I think I'm going to hold and wait for more team news. That's very sad. We'll touch actually on that a little bit later on. Loendle says, I would appreciate another wild card, please.
Another one, right.
Yeah. 2020 Millionaire says, Martinelli taking the risk.
Okay.
We touched on Martinelli. I'm not sure how much game time he's going to have because Aubameyang's suspension is going to be over by the time game week 25 rolls around, no?
Well, he is, but I think, if you think about the mindset that certainly a lot of the Arsenal fans have got, and I think Arteta might have it too, is that a lot of the Arsenal fans are kind of writing off this season, but they're kind of thinking, well, let's use the rest of this season to sort of experiment, and maybe Martinelli will be a big part of that, I think.
Okay. Lewis is just waiting on Josh King and Richarlison. So, Lewis, a patient man.
Mm.
Yeah. We talked about Everton's fixtures not being the best. A banter man. Jimenez and Calvert-Lewin, the perfect duo now.
Nice picks.
Maybe even Ayoze Perez. Now, Ayoze Perez we'll talk about in a minute or two, but what about Jimenez?
I had Jimenez and I sold him and I regret it because even if he goes a couple of games without scoring, he is the main man of Wolves. He's their penalty taker. He always seems to pop up with goals. And with Wolves as well, they're kind of fixture proof because although they had that slightly sticky run at the start of the season and then the start of 2020, they always find the form again and he will play week in, week out. Mm. I think he's a really good pick. I think he's 7.4 at the moment. So I think he's a brilliant pick and I'm considering him, he's another one that maybe when I take out Jamie Vardy, I'll bring him.
He's so consistent, isn't he, as well? He, like you say, he does pop up with the odd goal, the odd assist. He's, I wouldn't say that he's massively explosive. I don't see too many two-goal hauls, but he's consistent.
Thiago Jota is also back. I think he will play tonight. The listener will probably know more about this by the time they listen to this than we do at the moment. But Thiago Jota being back, and Willy Bolly is also going to be back. I know he's a central defender, but Wolves are going to be back to full strength. And they're rested at the moment. Obviously, Europa League will take hold again in February. But I think we should be starting to look at Wolves again in maybe the next few weeks.
I think Jimenez is a really good shout. And that's one of the ones that I think if I do take Vardy out of my team, Jimenez would be one of the ones I'm looking to put in.
Yeah, I think so.
I think he's going to score a lot more this season. I mean, he had a good season last season when you're sort of adjusting to the Premier League, which is obviously quite difficult to do for a lot of players that come in from abroad. And I think that, yeah, coming in the end of the season, he is going to keep scoring and seems to be in a bit of form now. And also, he's very good at working in tight spaces, and a lot of teams sit back against Wolves. And so the strikers have to do a lot more of that, whereas last season they could really hit on the counter, which maybe isn't his exact best game. But I think now he's really starting to show that he knows where to be in the box and when.
Okay, for another option for a kind of post-Vardy team, JT says, get Deeney, trust me. And it's one that we're going to be backing up after this when we talk about essential differentials. Essential differential, low, low ownership, high, high potential for fat returns, and JT suggesting Troy Deeney. JJ, funnily enough, this is a player you were already flagging up as being a real opportunity.
That's my other choice if I do replace Vardy. So if it's not Jimenez, it's probably going to be Deeney. And my base thing is that he started to score because he's come back. He started playing again. I think Nigel Pearson is exactly the kind of manager that can get the most out of Deeney and will really look to utilise him exactly as he should be played. Watford should be a mid-table side and they'll climb up out of the hole they're in, and Deeney will be the one that takes them there. Him and Gio Lafleur will be really important, but I just really rate Deeney, and he is a proper number nine who scores goals in the box, and the way Pearson plays is to get the ball in the box to him.
I think worth monitoring on this one, as I've said, I'm a Watford fan, if Ismaël Assar comes back, because as I said, yes, I was at Villa Park, and Watford were getting the ball into good positions, but they didn't have that injection of pace. Delafay is quite tricky, pace not necessarily his main skill, whereas we really missed the outlet of Saar on the right, so it's worth keeping up. It's a hamstring injury, won't play this weekend in the FA Cup, but worth monitoring that next week because that could affect Deeney as well. He's obviously the penalty taker, did miss one against Spurs, but will continue to take them, and I think he'll... I'm saying this maybe more hopefully than actual thing, but I think he will score the next one he takes because he's that kind of character.
Provides a lot of assists as well.
Yeah.
Well, not a lot, but quite, I mean, he's got good numbers for them in previous seasons. And again, if he's not the one who's heading the ball in the back of the net, he's often the one who's knocking it down for someone to run onto. So I think there's a lot of opportunity with Deeney.
Okay, got a goal midweek. He's actually returned in three of the last five game weeks. 6.2 million the price, not particularly high, very low ownership, 1.8. Lee, not a direct replacement for Jamie Vardy, but someone whose potential could be affected by the Leicester frontman's absence is Ayoze Perez.
Yeah, could be. So yeah, this one does come with a bit of a caveat because I don't necessarily think that Ayoze Perez is as effective when he plays wide and Vardy's there. But if Vardy's not there, we saw in the previous game week that actually Perez is on penalties. That's a nice string to his bow too. And actually, if you look at the two games that Vardy has missed this season in game week 20 and 21, Perez got 10 points and 13 points with a total of one goal and three assists across those two. And then, of course, in game week 24 that we've just seen, 15 points with two goals. So when Vardy doesn't play, Perez steps up, really steps up. I noticed James Maddison as well really run that game in midfield. He steps up too. So there's this kind of collective feel about the Foxes. Maybe it's a Rodgers thing that says, all right, our talisman's not here, Jamie Vardy's not here, but we're going to collectively pull together and play really, really well. Barnes was great, Maddison was great, but Perez in particular, have a look at him. 6.1 million, by the way. So, yeah. Worth a thought.
Okay, 6.4% is the ownership. And if Vardy isn't playing, that could only increase his potential for you. This is one a little bit from left field, Kelly, but go on, try it out anyway.
I'm not imminently going to bring in this player. I'd like to caveat that with this. I just brought him into our conversation beforehand and we did decide, I think, between
us, there's a lot of excuses that he's one.
I like Callum Wilson. I know him. He's a really nice guy. So, yes, it is Callum Wilson.
Oh, wow. And
I know, yes, there's the stat been doing the rounds, not a shot on target. I think it was since September or October. Hadn't
October,
scored.
Yeah, it's not quite as bad as September.
Yeah, sorry, Callum. first returns against Brighton since game week 7 versus West Ham. He's now 7.4.
Right.
After game week 9, he was up to 8 million. I know it's only one goal. I know I'm not getting too carried away, but I'm saying he's one to watch because he's quite a streaky player.
He's a streaky player.
He had 5 goals and 3 assists by game week 7. Obviously, since then, it went completely dry and Bournemouth, their form suffered as a result. But watching the highlights and quite a lot of their game against Brighton, it sounds like they were back to their best, playing the attacking football that we've come to know Eddie Howe likes them to play. And they've got really good fixtures as well. Villa is next up. Saw them on Tuesday, as I've said multiple times on the pod. And I think they are in a little bit of trouble. So I would definitely watch him. Maybe not bring him in imminently, but definitely one to monitor.
Well, there you go. Some essential differentials for you to look at or not. In our final section, we'll just be talking about our strategies for coping with this whopping 10-day gap between selecting teams. Well, it's going to be strange this weekend, Friday evening, then Saturday lunchtime, we're all around, and no deadline to get your teams in for. But how's it for you? Because I'm still checking prices, still looking at my team. I've already made a transfer this week.
Okay.
I've bought more socks. I've got Dean Henderson in, so I completely revolutionised my goalkeeping roster.
Okay,
and I very nearly brought in Amerit Laporte, and I think that's going to happen. But what about you guys? Are you being sensible and waiting for all the cup games, etc., or what?
Yeah, I certainly will be. Yeah, we've got 10 days, I think, maybe 9 or 10 days between the next time a Premier League team kicks off. So you've got League Cup games, League Cup semi-finals, you've got FA Cup this weekend. So
possible transfers in as well, you know, possible, you know, people coming in from, I mean, actual real-life transfers from in swapping clubs and that.
Yeah, of course. So as best you can, sit on your hands, I would say. Wait until as close to the deadline as possible and save those transfers, James, if you can.
Right. Kelly?
Vardy, as I mentioned, I'm monitoring quite closely.
Okay.
I'll see how many people are bringing him out because I'm worried about his price falling. That said, there are 2 games to look at for Leicester. I haven't for a while made 2 transfers in a week. And Martial was brought in at 6:25 on Tuesday, as I said. That was my second transfer for last week. So I've only got 1 transfer this week. I would like to ideally roll it because I like having 2 transfers to do a bit more surgery. And I think that's what my team needs right now. But a lot will depend on the next few days in terms of Vardy and FA Cup games.
You're going to just get genned up on all the info, medically speaking, and then make some sensible, well-informed decisions.
Yeah, but I have been known at midnight when I can't sleep to make a rash transfer if I think that a price is going to change overnight. I'm going to try and not do that, though, because I was having a good season. It's gone a little bit wrong.
Well, you're still in the top, 32,000,
I was 12,000th, so
JJ, what time of day did you make your wildcard decision?
Will it surprise you if I say I don't remember? I think the wild card could prove to be the making of me. Yeah. I just wanted to at least get near to some of the people higher up, and you take it one game at a time.
You do?
Yeah. Or in this case, 2, because there's 2 this week for Liverpool players. So I thought that might give me a big boost. And then I think what I'll do is just wait right until before the next weekend starts to replace Vardy if he's injured.
Yeah, just to say, I mean, the reason that I went with Dean Henderson so early and the reason that I very nearly have already done my other transfer on Laporte is that I'm worried about price rises. After Henderson's performance against Man City, I thought everyone's surely going to pile in on this guy if they haven't already. We shall see. That's always the payoff of waiting. You know, do you miss out? But that's one of the that's the skill of playing the game. Well, that's great. We're going to be back same time next week. Looking forward to game week 25 and drawing conclusions from the 2 Liverpool fixtures that stand between now and then. But for now, many thanks, JJ Bull, for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Not at all.
I've learned a lot.
We'll see. Lee Bonville, thanks for being in.
Thank you, James.
And to Kelly Summers as well, many thanks.
Thank you, James.
And thank you, listener. Do enjoy your stress-free weekend with no FPL. And we'll catch up with you again next week. Bye for now.